You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It is the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today, Thursday, June 28, 2018. We've got a lot of stuff to get into. Thanks for joining me this morning. In-depth look at what we're going to be reading about tomorrow and hearing about tomorrow. Today, I'm going to be delving into a number of deep, important issues, giving you some deep background, current events, but in context, in the necessary context of how things are shaping up for what we are about to see. And I would say that we are about to see some pretty explosive events, I think, on the horizon. You're going to have the communists in our government. That's right, communists. I didn't say progressives or Democrats. Communists in our government attempt to block the nomination of a new Supreme Court justice. Watch how this plays out. You know, just go back to 1987, 88, Robert Bork, when in fact Bork, his last name, his surname became a verb to be borked. Actually, that's in the dictionary, believe it or not. And then, of course, with Clarence Thomas, what we saw, remember Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill, that testimony, where Clarence Thomas called nomination hearings a high-tech lynching. You ain't seen nothing yet. You've not seen anything yet. This is going to, I guarantee you, this will go down in history in one of the biggest fights, as one of the biggest fights ever seen. This is, if you, and I'm glad you didn't, but if you did watch CNN, MSNBC, all of the leftist corporate news channels, this is getting, I mean, we're getting down to the brass tacks on the flooring here. This is where everything is at. This is what, according to the communists or the socialists or the progressives, this is what they were warning you about. Your rights are going to be trampled and violated and taken away. It's just moments away. It's one Supreme Court nomination away. That's what they're telling everyone. And even some of the never Trumpers are out there parroting that same idea. Yeah, it's over. Oh, it's over. Now we've got to pull out all the stops. I heard I don't know who it was, going through the sound clips of, there's a bank of sound clips that I've got access to, and I was going through them, and it's just sickening. But now I'm hearing the leftists, the progressives, saying, well, we've been playing by the rules. Now we're going to stop playing by the rules. Now it's a street fight. Wow. Where have you been? It's the left, progressive, communist left that's waged a street fight and not been playing by the rules. This is, trust me when I say this, you're about to witness some of the most incredible, turbulent times in American history coming up. Over the Supreme Court justice, that vacancy, as well as the lack of justice on the FBI Department of Justice hearings. And I'm going to thank Devin Nunes in particular. He's hacked off. I mean, Jim Jordan as well. They're pretty peeved. Yeah, and I know. Well, they've been that way for a while. Why haven't we seen justice? The struck closed-door hearings, now, we don't know anything for a fact except from what we've heard from those present inside the hearing. It was the invocation of, well, I can't answer that question based on the FBI attorney, my attorney, telling me not to answer the question. It's classified. Can't tell you. It was a waste of time. And I'm getting damn sick and tired of this, and I know you are too, each and every one of you listening to this. You're getting sick and tired of this. Take the gloves off. The president does have the legal authority to demand the declassification or to demand all of the documents from the Department of Justice, FBI, to be turned over to the executive branch, the attorney, actually, the legal counsel for the executive branch, turn that over, release the information to the president's lawyer, the White House attorney, and the White House attorney that could then supply the documents directly to Congress. It's just that simple. Just make the request. Now, today, later today, there will be a in-public view, in a congressional hearing, where Christopher Wray and Rod Rosenstein, by the way, Rosenstein is reportedly, now this is what I'm getting from my sources, and reportedly very angry at many conservatives. He's really angry at Sean Hannity, by the way. He's angry at any high-profile, how can I put this? Anyone with a high enough footprint or a big enough footprint that is questioning his authority or his intentions. He knows some names. That's taking place today. It's going to be interesting to watch. But really, the push is for all of the documents relating to the really the three areas: the email investigation, the FISA abuses, and those two. To simplify it, let's just keep it there. The email investigation of Hillary Clinton and the Russian investigation that include the FISA abuses. So those two areas, we need the documentation from them, from those two areas, to be released, declassified, and to be shown to the American public. We need Watergate-style hearings on the people, the Strucks, the Pages, the even today, the Rosensteins, the Christopher Wrays, and if not, fire them. Fire them, make them be gone. There's a war brewing in Congress right now between the And please understand this. I don't think this is adequately explained, in my view at least, not even by Fox News. There's a war going on within the Congress. Obviously, it's beyond a political war. It's an ideological war. It's the old guard. It's the old world order versus, or I should say, the new world order in modern parlance, I suppose. New world order versus the changes being brought forth by President Donald Trump. That's the war that's taking place right now. And I touched on this yesterday in my identification of and focusing on the Congressional Communist Caucus, or Congressional Progressive Caucus as they're known. But I would call them Congressional Communist Caucus. So, we've got the in Congress, you've got the communists, if you will, preparing to do everything they can to stop a Supreme Court nomination. Remember, they're saying too, well, we should go back to 2016, the 2016 rule, where it wasn't really a rule, it was an understanding where we don't elect anyone or nominate any Supreme Court justice during an election cycle, election year, meaning that, you know, before the midterms. That's a bunch of BS. You know that, but that's what they're saying. So that's not what's going to happen. There will be a move forward to pick select a Supreme Court nominee. And about that, you know, Kennedy, in my view, was no friend to conservatives. Not even in the least. Now he had no judicial, I don't know, what would you call it? No judicial compass. He was kind of all over the map. He actually voted perhaps 70% of the time in favor of the Constitution, 30% not. He was the swing vote in many, many important issues. But right now, the transformative issue right now is selecting and getting into the Supreme Court an individual with a very firm judicial philosophy that is consistent with the Constitution. That is something that the communist left cannot, absolutely cannot take. They don't want that. This is why the election was so important for Clinton. Oh, my goodness. Probably number two on the list, if not number one, would be the Supreme Court justices shaping the judicial history of our nation for generations to come. That's what this is all about, and that's what's happening right now. So someone who will follow, who understands the United States Constitution and will not legislate from the bench, but to carry forth the tenets of the Constitution as it was written, that's what the fight is about. Then you had, of course, the recent decision, and you can see how this plays out. The Supreme Court decision banning union coercion, that took place this week. And again, if you go back to this, the statement, elections have consequences, the election of Donald Trump, his nomination of Neil Gorsuch, an appointment, who was appointed to the Supreme Court, and along partisan lines, of course, the decision by the Supreme Court to ban union coercion. You can read about that. And by the way, some say that Justice Kennedy might have been Ronald Reagan's worst mistake. Just simply look at the amnesty deal, in comparison as well. But Kennedy, of course, was the consequence of the rejection of Robert Bork. Just kind of circle back around to that. Now, also news about the Las Vegas massacre. Video showing officers, security guards in hallway as Vegas killer opens fire a floor above them. Yeah. Interesting indeed. Laura Loomer's following that story and other stories. It's interesting how the Las Vegas narrative keeps changing. And, of course, we've got nothing of really everything being buried about Las Vegas, which we need to do a little bit of more investigation on, quite frankly, because I think that there is something very, very, very deep and dark in the Vegas shooting narrative there. All right. I mentioned Peter Strzok. He, according to leaks or statements from that hearing yesterday, the references to the texts about stopping Trump were rooted more in wooing, the tryst, the relationship. They were pillow talk, if you will, intimate conversation between intimate friends. Okay. I want to mention one other thing too. This host of headlines and host of news items. Remember, of course, the, in air quotes, the child sex camp in Arizona. Remember that. The Vets on Patrol finding an encampment or a small camp under a tarp, including a septic tank turned on its side, reportedly all sorts of things finding them. And, of course, we had Veterans on Patrol. The head of Veterans on Patrol, if you don't know who that person is, you can research it, but not a vet, just saying, contacted a second party. And by the way, I'm not throwing Veterans on Patrol under the bus. I'm not doing that. They're good at what they do for veterans, but in identifying and understanding crime scenes, I think that there's got to be a little bit more. Frankly, you can't contaminate a crime scene. You can't misinterpret. It would be easy to misinterpret things that are seen and embellish for the purpose of getting attention, drawing attention to something. But in this case, it's not what it seemed. Bottom line, Craig Sawyer coming out shortly thereafter. I had spoken to Craig Sawyer both on and off air. And, there's a video, of course, of his initial reaction that evening when he arrives, seeing certain things and saying that's disturbing, it's inhumane kind of thing. But again, upon further analysis, Craig Story coming out and saying, look, it's not what you think it is. There's no evidence found, no bodies at the location, no DNA evidence, and so on. It's not to say it doesn't exist, just not there. And I know we got a lot of blowback on this. I got some. In fact, I had about 4 people say, you know what, I used to support you. I'm not going to support you anymore. Well, look, we go where the truth is. We go with the facts. And Sawyer is certainly a guy that federal law enforcement trained and obviously and understands what he's talking about, who admits that child trafficking remains a big problem. But his post, his analysis after the first seeing the what he was shown, his final analysis said, look, this is not what you think, or it's not what it was portrayed to be. I really don't feel like going over the, I'll just say this. When Craig Sawyer was called, I mean, he and another individual, I can tell you the backstory. They were loaded for bear. The information that Craig Sawyer got was that they were actually holding a potential suspect as well as a potential victim or an alleged victim until Craig Sawyer's arrival. Sawyer found that that was not true. There were so many other things that were not true that Mr. Sawyer was told. The police involvement, well, Craig Sawyer said that when he arrived, 3 Tucson police officers were already on site. We know that for a fact. He noted that they were the first to conclude that there was no evidence of child sex trafficking at that location. So, in fact, Craig Sawyer obtained and showed me, well, I've got 9 Tucson Police Department reports as well from that Craig Sawyer had involving the investigation of that site. Now, Craig had said that much of what was initially claimed about that site was blown out of proportion, while other claims were outright false. Those false claims included one stating that condoms were found at the site and that children were found there as well. So, too, were claims of a shallow grave and a bloody knife blade. Not true. Look, child sex trafficking is a real and a legitimate and a big problem. And I'm echoing the words of Craig Sawyer. Just because that site was sensationalized. Yeah. I can talk. Just because that was blown out of proportion, purported to be something it wasn't, doesn't mean the problem doesn't exist. Exaggerating things, blowing things out of proportion, does not help legitimate organizations or law enforcement combat the problem or save the children. Please understand that. The reason I mention that now, today, is because it's in the news again and people are saying, well, it's a big cover-up. No, it's not. It is what it is. Child sex trafficking is a big problem. I just wanted to revisit that to let you know that has not gone off our radar. And just to really settle matters. Now Craig is working on a number of things right now in and outside of this country, which are just, it's incredible stuff. So again, just some headlines here that I wanted to make sure that I covered before I get into really the theme, I suppose, of this episode. And I'm looking here at various other breaking news items, and it's interesting how the news cycle, it's almost like a ticker tape on Broadway. I mean, or in Times Square, it's constant, and you have to constantly do triage of the news cycle. But again, just touching on the highlights. Watch just to recap here too. Watch for more information about Las Vegas coming out and about the, I don't even know what to call how the Las Vegas Sheriff's Department, how the responding officers handled this particular shooting. More is going to be coming out about that. And of course, but the big thing right today is the Supreme Court nomination. That's the big thing. What's happening there and how the communists are going to block and really do some things that are going to be historic, I believe. It's going to make the Robert Bork nomination process look like some sort of invitational. That's how big I think, you know, really in the relative scheme of things, this is. And the communists are coming out, taking the gloves off, and it's going to be a street fight to the max. Oh, a bit of good news. I received a communication from Dave Dobmeier, Coach Dave, CoachDaveLive.com. Remember when he was on their flagship show? If you missed it, you can go back and listen to it. There was a clinic, an abortion center, where Coach Dave and his crew, they were there. They actually saved a couple of lives by being there, where women actually decided not to go through with abortions. The clinic, the communication I received from Dave Dobmeier this morning, the clinic we just protested last weekend has closed its doors. Boots on the ground work. We can make a difference, of course. So that's Coach Dave Dobmeier. That's good news. Very good news. All right. What I really want to get into in this episode is a continuation of what I've been talking about. Everything today is at stake for the deep state. Everything. Because Donald Trump is president today, everything is at stake for the left, for the communist left, for the so-called progressives, communists. Everything. Everything being the stealth revolution rooted in Marxism, which has been subverting our constitutional republic for over a century. Now, that's a statement written by Diana West, as you know, one of my favorite authors and a good friend. I look at her as a good friend of the show and a good friend, just a tremendously intelligent author and investigative journalist. But think about this. What we're seeing today, it's all because Donald Trump is president. The deep state was issued a stop order, I guess, if you look at it that way. Now, that really is a fly in their ointment. Donald Trump is a fly in their ointment. And of course, the Supreme Court coming up and that nomination coming up, it's do or die time for the communists. And they've been working at this subversion for over a century. So long as Donald America First Trump remains president, he remains empowered to carry out his 2016 mandate to restore the U.S. border, to regain control of U.S. immigration policy, to rebuild American sovereignty, to change things, including the complexion of the Supreme Court, as we will see, that will remain really for perhaps a generation or longer. Things are changing dramatically for the better, for the constitutional republic, for Americans, true Americans, not the deep state people. It's in 525 days. This is day 525 of the Donald Trump presidency. He's done a lot. This would be, by the way, his second nomination for the Supreme Court, or second pick for the U.S. Supreme Court. So now the left is in a frenzy. Witness, of course, the case of that picture of that child on Time magazine and Donald Trump looking down. That iconic picture, Welcome to America, the Time magazine cover, which is a lie. Now, Diana West wrote on Sunday that on the left we have the Time magazine pathos shriek out, the photoshopped in our collective mind's eye image of evil Donald Trump separating toddlers out of, you know, away from their families. Except, of course, that the crying two-year-old was never separated from her mother and, of course, never met Donald Trump, which, you know, is a reference to the photograph of, or the cover on the Time magazine. The reason I bring this up now, everything that we're seeing here is a spoke of the wheel, of the communist wheel that has been in play for really for a century. And we're seeing the spokes being broken by Donald Trump and us, you and I, just like that. I can't take credit for it, but I certainly can give credit to Dave Dobmeier and his crew for going out there. And in my view, because of the attention drawn to that clinic in Ohio, because of the, I don't want to say protest, but because of the presence, I suppose, of Coach Dave and his people, boots on the ground do work, and action does work against these purveyors of evil that include abortion clinics. But it also goes to another issue as well, and that, of course, is the lies being told by the left, by the communist left. And that's where this picture on the Time magazine comes in. Let's take a little closer look at really what's going on here, because I think, again, context means it means everything in context. The picture of Time, which I'm on Time magazine, I'm sure you're all familiar with, the young girl crying just a few feet away from Donald Trump, standing looking down at her, photoshopped, of course. But that led the charge against this against this ban, for example, which was another win, by the way, the travel ban, as it's been called, or the Muslim ban, as it's been called. The victory in the Supreme Court. And of course, this is driving the communists crazy, because it's this no borders fight. But anyway, back to the cover of Time magazine, because this is iconic. This really is the, in at least in my view, this tells the story. This applies to the media today. This applies or serves as an example, an exhibit, a courtroom-like exhibit to for the not just the lies being told by the corporate media, but by the agenda of the communists, the leftists, the Democrats, whatever you want to call them. Time, of course, when confronted with the reality that's a Photoshop picture, and by the way, that child was—it's a lie from start to finish. Time's response was this. Our cover and our reporting capture the stakes of this moment. All right? That's their reply. They doubled down instead of saying, yeah, we know it's artistic license, if you will. But that's Time editor-in-chief Edward, Felsenthal? Felsenthal? I guess that's his name, editor-in-chief, Edward Felsenthal. That's what he said. The stakes? Well, perhaps the Time editor-in-chief conveyed more than he intended with that statement. Think about it. This, and I'm again, citing an article by Diana West from Sunday. Think about this. All of the stakes that are fit to print. Political warfare in this country is at a risky flashpoint as the left intensifies its attacks and intensifies outrageous harassment of Trump officials. On the remnant rule of law undergirding the shredded sovereignty of this nation, what the Time editor-in-chief confirms is something that we already know. The news media are not covering this political warfare. They are themselves shareholders in what is at risk, the stakes, and have made themselves special operators in the psychological battlefield. Now consider that carefully. Here we have, I went over the headlines at the beginning of the show, a lot of hot things going on, including but not limited to the Supreme Court. And then, of course, the hot button issue, the children, how could you, how dare you? And then we look at the Congressional Communist Caucus, the Congressional Progressive Caucus, deciding things being influence to decide legislation, and also being an impediment to things like Donald Trump's Supreme Court nomination, selection, as well as immigration and everything else that, would fall within the legislative body, shall we say. And so Sunday Diana West writes an article, again, titled Media Shock Troops Go Full Pravda, and where she references the Time cover of the Time magazine. And if you see how exquisitely all of this fits together, how this all ties together, and it's so obvious now. You've got this infiltration that's occurred over the last century. You've got these groups, both non-governmental groups and groups within the government, that have been shaped, formed, and organized, well organized, and are operational today to take down our Constitution. And then you've got the media now. Not just, this didn't happen overnight, it's been going on for a while, but the media now using this red Time cover, yellow journalism to the max, but to portray something that is false to the American people. And when confronted with it, they double down. Let me cite the words again from Diana West, because now listen to how exquisite this is and how concise that she lays this out. Note how Time stands by its propaganda. Our cover and our reporting capture the stakes of this moment. Meaning, the picture does not have to be legitimate. It's the embodiment of the emotion of the moment. That's according to the Time editor-in-chief. And the stakes? Well, writes Diana West, perhaps the Time editor-in-chief conveyed more than he intended. Think about it. All the stakes that are fit to print. Political warfare in this country is at a risky flashpoint as the left, the communists, as they intensify their attacks, their harassment of Trump officials on the remnant rule of law undergirding the shredded sovereignty of this nation. I could not have said it better than that. What this Time editor-in-chief is confirming, again, is something that we already know. The news media, they're not covering this political warfare. And I'm expanding this to say the political warfare that's taking place and will take place with the Supreme Court nomination, the immigration issue, the alien invasion issue, and all aspects of what of the deep state versus you and I. Why aren't they covering this? Because they themselves are the shareholders in what is at risk, the stakes, and have made themselves special operators in this psychological battlefield. And that's what this is. InfoWars, a war for your mind, information warfare, all right? It is that. And because President Donald Trump is, in fact, president, everything is at stake for the left, and everything being the stealth revolution rooted in Marxism, which has been subverting our constitutional republic for over a century. And so long as Donald America First Trump, it remains president, he remains empowered to carry out things such as the Supreme Court nominations. In this 2016 mandate to restore the U.S. border, to regain control of the U.S. immigration policy and rebuild American sovereignty in all aspects. Now, such accomplishments would not only make this time period historic, his presidency historic, they would become the basis of an American counter-revolution. The left, the communists in our government and associated within our government are doing everything that they can to stop him, to stop this counter-revolution. And when it comes to its shock troops in the media, their role is to keep going full Pravda no matter where it takes them. It doesn't matter. Now, about that picture and about this issue, there was a Washington Post article. Very much like Time magazine. U.S. officials separated him from his child. Then he was deported to El Salvador, referencing again that child, which you see in Time magazine, and the one that was used as the example by the communist left. Not to be outdone by Time, the Post featured on its front page a photo of a father crying during a phone call with this child, who is not crying, as far as we're told. This would be the child from whom U.S. officials separated him. Anyway, that was after the father, having taken his daughter out of kindergarten in May, went on to separate the child from her family circle, including from her mother, from whom the father is also separated, and subject her to the dangerous trek north to break into the United States. Twice before, he tried and failed by himself. Why did he take his daughter with him on this third attempt? Did someone suggest that he would fare better with a child? The Post never asked that question. Did he ever worry about the harm that might befall this little girl on such a dangerous trip? Did he ever consider what might have happened to her if something happened to him? I mean, think about this. Think about these questions that are being posed here. Of course, the Washington Post, they don't ask. In fact, the Washington Post glossed over the entire 1,200-mile father-daughter trek itself until they were really close to the United States and aboard a raft and float the Rio Grande. They entered the U.S. illegally at Hidalgo, Texas, turned themselves into the Border Patrol, and claiming fear of gang members back in El Salvador, they demand asylum. Now, the father may or may not have caused a fear of the gang, this Barrio 18. What is a fact, however, is that after decades of an open U.S. border, there are some 30 to 50,000 members of the violent transnational gang to fear here in 20 U.S. states here in America. But after that, nothing went as feloniously planned, at least as far as the father is concerned. Thanks to Donald Trump's Make America Great Again, MAGA, zero-tolerance policy to enforce immigration law, the father was charged and pled guilty to crossing the border illegally and was sentenced to time served. 3 days, which is, wow, extremely lenient given this was not his first, not his second, but his third offense. Also, under U.S. law, the immigration officials under whose control the father had purposely placed himself and his daughter followed federal guidelines to feed and house the poor child, who, for all we know, might have been suffering from exposure or other maladies arising from the terrible trip that her father had chosen to expose her to. Now, assuming the best, however, assuming that the 6-year-old is fine, everything is good with her, let's assume that for the moment, she is nonetheless now separated from her whole world in that coastal Salvadorian village where her father works on a corn farm and helps the local organization hatch sea turtles, and is somewhere being processed inside the maw of the U.S. government bureaucracy. So who's responsible for that? Asked Diana West. Well, according to Marxist utopia, the father bears not the tiniest share of responsibility for the grave risk and distressing dislocation that he himself subjected his daughter to. Isn't that interesting? Because you see, in the eyes of the left, and you can see it on Twitter, you can see it on Facebook, and you can see it on all of the news channels, he himself subjected his daughter, it's not his fault what he subjected his daughter to. It's all Donald Trump's fault. It's all of the U.S. officials' fault. It's the ICE officers' fault. It's Christian Nielsen's fault. It's Sarah Sanders' fault. It's our fault, yours and mine, because we voted for Donald Trump. It is as if the Salvadorian man, who the Post had blown up in tears across its pages, has no volition, no conscience to the left. He's just one of many counters, a game piece, a button to push, to activate. Get up to that border with your child. Get them to the cameras. Can we get some more tears now? Can we just open the border to stop the kids from crying, for crying out loud? Oh, my goodness, for the children. Yeah, that's what this is all about, but in a larger sense. Can we also stop all the thinking about the treasonous corruption of the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, the Obama regime, the Obama White House? Just for the sake of the children, can we stop thinking about this stuff? Can we stop talking about it? Look, we got a child over here crying. It's for the children. Do you see what's happening? This is the push for this communist utopia. This degrading lust for power at the expense of humanity and the pursuit of truth is the Marxism in poisonous full flower. You see what's taking place? Can we just open the border to stop the kids from crying? For the children, can we just stop? Can we burn the election for the children? Can we destroy the citadel for the children? Oh, and by the way, can we stop talking? Stop thinking about the treasonous corruption of the Justice Department and the FBI and the CIA, the Obama White House. It's because for the children, for the sake of the children. In the one sentence written by Diana West, this degrading lust for power at the expense of humanity and the pursuit of truth is the Marxism in full, or in poisonous full flower. Indeed it is. This is what I've been really trying to drill the last week in programs, in my episodes. It's about this communist utopia. Where do we find ourselves? I just opened the show. Kennedy, outgoing Supreme Court Justice, going to resign or going to be gone effective July 31st. Donald Trump will be selecting someone to be vetted and appointed to the Supreme Court. The left is unhinged because that will change, perhaps for a generation, the Supreme Court. And that will, if we get somebody in there, hopefully this will happen, who is not a judicial activist, who actually is a constitutionalist, well, that's going to make all the difference. And the left can't have that. Someone who has a firm judicial philosophy that is consistent with the United States Constitution and not a judicial activist. That's what the left, the communists, are so afraid of. So look at the children crying. We don't worry about that. I mean, oh my goodness, look at the children crying. Look at how bad Donald Trump is. What a bad guy he is, and the voters for Donald Trump. Look, have you seen the effect? Granted, this story is a week plus old. The alien invasion, the separation from children, it's not a new story. But do you see how it's being used by the communists, by the Marxists, by the communist utopians and the Marxist utopians in this country? So expect something else to take away from the intense inspection and investigation of the treasonous activity of the last regime, of the weaponization of the IRS, or the IRS, I keep saying that, but in previous programs, but it's true, the IRS as well, but the Department of Justice and FBI. They must get the attention off of that. There's a inverse relation between, or a relationship between how strongly we expose or are working to expose the deeds, the evil and treasonous, seditious deeds of the people in power to the trinkets and shiny objects. Look over here, the distractions and diversions, and I would even throw in potential false flags. That's what this is about, and that's what we're about to see right now. That's where we're at, because we can't, the left, they are at their wits' end. I mean, they have to, right? They're saying right now, look, anything goes by any means necessary. We're about to lose the grip on the country that we intend to destroy. And here we have Donald Trump that can potentially change the country for the better by a Supreme Court nomination to bring us back to a constitutional republic by representative republic. We can't have that. That's going to undo 100 years of infiltration. It's going to undo 100 years of the takeover of the media. That's the bigger picture here that we're seeing. It's funny that no one wants to use the C word on television. No one, very few want to use the C word in their broadcasts and podcasts and media. The C word being communists. No, they're progressives. They're liberals. They're Democrats. No, they're communists. And much like the blowback that Dinah West got back when she wrote the book American Betrayal, from who? From conservatives. We are seeing blowback as well from conservatives when we push too hard on certain issues or self-proclaimed conservatives. We expect the blowback from the liberals and such, but now this is different. So the stakes are much higher. Can you see the staircase-like elevation of tension? It's like a staircase, and we're nearing the top of that staircase in terms of what we're about to see take place all across America. And on HagmanReport.com, there was a poll that was done. Americans are thinking about civil war. Americans are concerned about violence. It's a real thing. Yet when we talked about it 5 years ago, it wasn't. Oh, you put that out of your mind, you bunch of fear mongers, fear porn artists, fear porn. That's fear porn. Well, is it really? Is it today? How many of you have heard about the coverage outside of Hagman Report and American Thinker, Peter Barry Chaka, about what's taking place in Portland, Oregon with respect to ICE? Have you heard about that? ICE at bay. Siege at Portland continues as copycat insurrection spread nationwide. Expect more of this. Today marks day 12 in the radical left-wing and anarchist occupation and blockade of ICE headquarters in Portland, Oregon. Now, this is, and Peter Barry Chaka writes about this in the American Thinker, wrote about this at HagmanReport.com, spoke about this last Monday, but it's not getting a lot of play. At the heart of this are the Obama-related groups such as Occupy ICE PDX. PDX, of course, being the designation for Portland Airport. The direct action to shut down operations of the Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Investigative Agency. It started with a small group of demonstrators back on June 17th. And within 2 days... Tell me this is organic and spontaneous. Less than 48 hours, scores of radicals, including families with children, had set up a sprawling tent city on the sidewalks and streets surrounding the ICE building, effectively shutting it down. But by week's end, hundreds of so-called comrades had been lured by social media to join this campaign, and it served to inspire similar provocative illegal actions around the country. The Portland occupation, the first nationwide, is an attempt to disrupt President Donald Trump's zero tolerance policy that has treated refugees seeking asylum as criminals and separated small children from their parents. There we go again. Go back to Time Magazine. Go back to the Washington Post. You see how all of this fits together. The national mainstream television and cable news coverage of these developments in Portland, says Peter Chaka, largely non-existent. The fact that the movement has gone nationwide, yeah, ignored. Several internet political publications, hats off to American Thinker, on June 25th, reported the story. And a few major newspapers, just, you know, on page D12 or whatever, I don't know. Now, in contrast, the radical ragtag Occupy movement demonstrations in the fall of 2011 grabbed major media coverage, including from on TV from the outset, from the first one, Occupy Wall Street. It's plausible that the widespread coverage of obnoxious and potentially criminal actions that have been taking place and their potential impact to harm Democrat candidates in the fall have discouraged the media, the mainstream media, from reporting on the equally obnoxious radical encampments in Portland and other cities for this particular reason. Who's behind these groups? Who's behind the Portland and allied anti-ICE actions? As Peter Barry Chaka points out, Antifa, the Democratic Socialists of America. I spent a great deal of recent episode talking about the Democratic Socialists of America, who, by the way, morphed into or sponsored or became or really it was the infrastructure of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, the Congressional Communist Caucus. Various anarchists and socialists and communist fellow travelers, all part of this movement now. By the way, the official Occupy ICE PDX, the official Occupy ICE Portland Twitter account, makes the group's agenda clear. We ain't leaving until ICE is out of Portland and is abolished, and ICE equals Gestapo. The radical left-wing Democratic mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler, he's in sync with the occupiers. And he ordered Portland police to stand down and not enforce laws against what they're doing. What the heck is going on here? Where you've got mayors, you've got city officials, you've got police chiefs, in some cases, telling their people to stand down against the wishes of the Donald Trump and against federal law. Other Portland leaders, as Peter Barry Chaka states, are even more dedicated to kowtowing to the occupiers and shutting down ICE in the city. There was an article in San Francisco Gate that points some things out. I'm not going to read that, but you've got people right now blocking ICE buildings in San Diego, in Los Angeles, in New York, in Detroit, San Francisco, Chicago, and even just 100 miles from me in Pittsburgh. And demonstrators to date have had some successes in shutting down ICE operations. Al Jazeera reported just yesterday that on Monday, Occupy ICE in New York City forced ICE to temporarily cancel a series of immigration hearings because they feared for the safety of their ICE employees. How can this be in America today? What we're seeing today, I submit to you, is the result of a century of the infiltration permitted into this country by the communists, by the Muslim Marxists, by the Obama sycophants, the Hillary Clinton sycophants, the deep staters. They have paved the road, the utopian road to hell. That's what has been taking place. And today we're seeing now this squaring off between these anarchist groups, between the ideologues in academia, the infiltrators in Congress, and they're all coming to, and oh, let's not forget the media that has become, as Diana West so eloquently explained, the propaganda arm, if you will, of the communists, the Marxists, the Marxist Muslims. They're all coming together now. And we are at this flashpoint time. As I said before, we're reaching this flashpoint where the Civil War's been going on, the war of ideology, the war. But now it's reaching to the point where you've got these anarchist groups that are doubling down. You've got Maxine Waters people doubling down. You've got calls for open calls for harassment against the not just Donald Trump, not just people within his administration, but against you and I. And at that point, when it reaches you and I, now we've got to take some sort of action. You know, that's when the fight or flight thing comes into play. I ain't no mood to fly or to run. It's time to fight. When I say that, I'm saying it's time to take a stand, to be clear, and not put up with the anarchy, not put up with the this Marxist ideology that is so pervasive today, and to call out Time Magazine, to call out the Washington Post, to call out the Brian Stelters, to call out the Chris Matthews and all of the people who are working for the what would be known as the deep state, to continue our counter-revolution, I suppose. Again, citing the words of Diana West. So I'm going to close with what I started this with. At least started the theme with something Diana West wrote. Because Donald Trump is president, everything is at stake for the left. Everything being the stealth revolution rooted in Marxism. If we all understand that, if we all understand that this stealth revolution rooted in Marxism has been subverting our constitutional republic for over a century and continues to do so through the Mueller investigation, through the social media trolls out there, through Time Magazine, through the corporate media, to continue that to delay justice in matters of the FBI and Department of Justice. We lose. But we're not going to. So long as Donald America First Trump is and remains president, he remains empowered to carry out his 2016 mandate to restore the U.S. border region, to regain control of U.S. immigration policy, and rebuild American sovereignty, and to do much more than that. They're fighting against this because they've planned for 100 years. They believe for 100 years that now, that this was their day. But it's not. And it's all because of us who elected Donald Trump. And we are going to pay that price. Donald Trump's going to pay that price. Anyone who supports Donald Trump, part members of his cabinet, they're going to pay that price. We saw that with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We saw that with a number of people. In cabinet positions. But now it's coming to us, you and I. And as long as Donald Trump remains president, he remains empowered, as we are empowered to carry out our will, or for him to carry out our will, for which we elected him, to bring us back to a lawful constitutional republic, and not this Marxist Muslim utopia so desired by Obama and the previous administrations. That's what makes this the most dangerous point in history, the most exciting time in history. We have to fight. I hope that made sense. The left is doing everything it can to stop us in this counter-revolution. We have to fight back. May God bless you. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report. Tune in to The Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.